Praise the Lord, it's so good to see you all. Good to be back together again. If I told you I missed the days when you'd almost get knocked over trying to get to the pulpit, I'd be lying to you. I think what we're finding out is God is, doing such a work of the cross in our hearts to where there's no desire for position or recognition or just glad to be together, glad to be a part of the corporate Christ and part of the family.
Thank you, Lord.
I just hope that we're all coming to that place where that any title that you get along the way, I mean, when you think about Joseph's coat of many colors, this is not what I want to talk about, but you think about that and how the different garments that he wore at different junctures of his life. And I just hope that we've come to the point where whatever it is that God has put on you, whatever garment that God has clothed you in to function in his house, that you don't get your identity from that, that you don't let that define you, that you're not struggling or reaching after or I would say lusting after some position or some title, of whether it be elder or traveling ministry or father ministry or some title that is only temporal anyway. Because your true definition, your true identity is if you're in Christ today, you're a new kind of creature. And all these coats were taken away from Joseph along the journey. And at the end of it, the one who was Lord over all the land clothed him in white garments and put chains around his neck and made him second in command over all the land of Egypt. And God has a purpose and a calling for all of his sons. And every garment that you wear along the way, don't let it define you. Don't get your identity from that. Don't find the strength of your own hand. And keep your eyes on the vision of who you really are. I say that in the area of functionality in the body of Christ, but let me also translate that to areas where you don't see yourself as anything. Maybe you see yourself as an object failure, or maybe you have just failed, and maybe you've just really blown it big time. Don't let that define you either, because that's not who you are. And you need to remind yourself that along the journey, God uses failings as part of the fabric of what he's building you into, the fabric of dependency. Who would ever believe that God would use failure as part of that? Man, as part of the recipe in making a son, making someone that is absolutely dependent. But you can look at the life of the Apostle Peter and see that the Lord actually ordained failure in his life to where he denied the Lord three times. And when I look at Peter, man, he was so spontaneous and so anointed. And many times he was right on, spot on, and got it when nobody else was getting it. Would have courage enough to step out where angels would fear to tread, where no other man would walk on water. But, you know, and maybe I'm looking at a room of water walkers tonight. I don't know. But you know, if the Lord says, bid you come, then I'm sure that you could. I'm sure that you could, because you are his offspring. You, everything, what does that mean? What is that? You know, we go through these things, we say these things, but brothers and sisters, do we realize the weight of what it is that we're saying? That when we say that we're his offspring, that everything that he is, With every juncture of growth in your life, you're showing more of the character of your father. You're starting to look more and more like him. And you know, the funny thing of it is that the world defines success in you getting it all right all the time. It defines success in strength, but God defines success in weakness, because it's in his weakness, or in your weakness, that his strength actually shows up and is made perfect. And why would God let you be weak and be nothing so that he could be seen to be all and in all? Because it's really all about him. And then you and I just get to participate in this whole thing. This love relationship with our Father. It's a walk with our Father of getting to know him. His unconditional love that you can't sin your way out of. You can't. You can't get away from it. Now, am I saying that you should sin? No. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. There's consequences for sin. There really is. There is.
I mean, we do, and it's absolutely right, and we should highlight the fact that when God called David, that he saw that when the anointing was on him, and when God was making statements like, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, who is a man after my own heart, who will do all my will," that he also saw that he was a murderer and an adulterer. And that he was one that would number the people, and he saw all the failures in this man's life. Right. But don't you forget the consequences that David had to go through because of what he did. There were consequences. And there are, I don't say there are eternal consequences, but I want to tell you something. You look at his family life. The sword will not depart from your house. I mean, you had brother killing brother. You had brother raping sister. You had things, one brother trying to take the crown. Things were going on. He lost the baby. All of this stuff was as a result. Laying with all of David's wives in the light of the sun in front of all Israel. So, and I think that it's important that we remember that the balance of the desire and the cry in our heart to actually line up, align with God, and to manifest, and to cry unto him to do something in us that we can't do ourselves.
Amen.
And that's why the Apostle Paul, in the book of Galatians, I don't know about you, but every time that I have failed in my life, it's starting to change some. I wish I could tell you it's completely changed. I don't know if it has or not. But every time that I would hit a wall and I would fail in an area of my life, I would try harder. How about you? Come up with a new program. Come up with a new idea. You know, rebuke the devil, speak in tongues, just anything to try to get. And I think about Galatians chapter 5, if you'll go there with me. I really wasn't planning to be up here tonight, so I hope this turns out okay. We have hope. He says, "You hope for that which you see not." So, and here you have Paul, and I love the book of Galatians, and I love this apostle of grace, because he fathered this people, and he was there, and there was the moving of the Spirit and the working of miracles among them, and people were coming alive from the dead. Things were happening in their lives, but it seemed like everywhere the apostle Paul would go, the Judaizers, the religious human performers would come behind him, those that would say, "Jesus and..." Jesus and the Mosaic law. Jesus and circumcision. And you got to do something here. Let me just tell you something. The biggest test that Jesus faced in the wilderness of temptation, if you are a son, do something. Do something. Show that you're a son. And that's the whole thing is, and Jesus, the temptation for Jesus in the wilderness was he had always stayed in his father's yoke. He'd always stayed in the yoke that he wants to pass on to you and I.
Yeah.
And he never did anything independently of his father. And so the whole temptation of Satan was move out and do something and show your sonship.
Right.
You don't manifest yourself. It's the father that manifests you. You wait. And he did, and he passed the test. And the Judaizers, and you see, you got to understand that when you think about the devil, don't think about some guy with horns and a long tail and a pitchfork. No, no, think about somebody that looks very priestly with religious robes, because he deals in the area of religion. He deals and he loves the area of the law. Because the law is the strength of sin. And he knows as long as he can keep you in a legalistic, performance-oriented approach to God, that he can keep you under the power of sin. Because it's that, brothers and sisters, that gives sin its strength in your life. And that's why you hear Paul saying, "Sin shall not have dominion over you," in Romans chapter 6. Because you are not under the law, but you're under grace. But then he follows it with a tremendous balance and saying, don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. I'm not saying that just because you're not under the law, you're under grace, that you should continue in sin. God forbid. So everywhere that he went, I think one of the thorns that Paul had to deal with was the Judaizers always following after him.
and trying to tear down and pollute and adulterate the word that he was sharing with God's people, of a freedom of approach to God, of a freedom to that if you sin, that you don't have to miss a step, that the forgiveness was actually purchased for before you ever sinned. In truth, you were forgiven. That doesn't mean that you don't have to confess and repent and turn from it and keep walking. But you shouldn't have to miss a step in your connection with your Father, because that connection is so vital. You can't bear fruit without the connection to the vine. You just can't. Amen. It won't happen. It'll bring forth sour grapes. It won't bring forth the real stuff. And keeping that connection is so critical. And that's why the Holy Spirit is there. And hopefully we're utilizing, hopefully that you and I are appropriating the moving of the wonderful, beautiful Holy Spirit in our lives. Paul told the Galatians, you started out in the Spirit. Do you think that you're now made perfect by natural effort? Having begun in the Spirit, you got to end up in the Spirit. This thing has to be done by the Spirit all the way through. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. This is not earthy fruit. This is not fruit that can come from man. This is fruit that has to come from a divine working of the Spirit of God in your life. It's divine fruit. It's heavenly fruit. It's from above fruit. And he tells them in Galatians, he said, I want you to be careful. I want you to stand fast, therefore, in the freedom and the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Don't be tangled again with the yoke of bondage. In the New Living Translation, it says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. So that is important. And you know, when you think about it, there are 613 some odd laws out there. And he comes out of, he lays this standing fast in the liberty, having just came out of Galatians chapter 4, where he talks about the bondwoman, which is Jerusalem, which talks about Sinai, which is in bondage with her children. And then he talks about the free woman. Now we, brethren, are not of the bondwoman. We are of the free woman. We are the children of promise. That's who you are. Don't let your titles define you. Don't let your failures define you. Don't even let your victories define you. Just keep walking, because you're walking into an eternal destination. Don't get hung up on because you have a title. Don't get hung up if you don't have a title. Just keep walking.
Yeah. Right.
Because he says this. He says to those these that go on with me, he said, I'm going to give them a name, the eunuchs, those that glorify me. I'm going to give them a name and a place in my house better than that of sons even.
Yep.
What could be better? Well, I looked and lo, there was a lamb standing on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. And they had his Father's name written in their forehead. There is a name and a place in the house better than that of sons and daughters.
Amen.
The very Father's nature and character. Everything that defines God, God, yours. He is your inheritance. Don't you settle for anything less. And don't you strive for some position short of that. Be quick to let it go. Like Joseph was the garment in the hand of the Potiphar's wife. Just let it go. Whatever it was, don't hang on to anything on this temporal side too tight. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, and again, we know they were talking about literal, physical, natural circumcision, but, you know, you and I, we carry that over into the Christian, and we say, well, that means that, you know, cutting away the things of, well, you know, how's that been working for you? Well, you know, I mean, you could say that, and somebody could stand up and say, well, it's working pretty good, Brother Joe. I mean, I've actually got things under control. I mean, I've had this and this and this other thing, and I've cut. And you know who gets the glory for that? You know, if you were to get your act together,
in your own physarinctum. Is that a word? If you were to do that, you know what that does to you? You know how you look at other people? You are so... Brother, if you do what I did, you could be free. A self-righteousness, going about Israel, being ignorant of the righteousness of God, went about to establish their own righteousness, not submitting to the righteousness of God. Let me just tell you that whatever you do in your own strength is your righteousness. And God has it, He calls that filthy rags. It's not God's righteousness. The only way into God's righteousness is by faith. And as we keep on reading here, that you'll see that it's a relational faith. It's not something like the ultra faith teachers are teaching out there. It's relational. It's a faith that is actually activated by love. And we go from faith to faith. We go from strength to strength. We are increasing more and more in the love of God as the Spirit of God is working in our hearts. As it says in Romans chapter 5, tribulation worketh patience. Patience brings you into experiences with God. Experience works hope. Hope, because I had an experience with God, even though I was walking through this tribulation, it brought me into a deeper knowing relationship with Him. And I have hope to go through the next thing I need to go with. And hope maketh not ashamed, because then the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the operation of the Holy Spirit. And you start seeing people different. You start loving, because, and that's the kind of faith that's activated by love. And that's the kind of faith that produces genuine righteousness. And it's from faith to faith. And it's something that sometimes has to be waited for.
Behold, I, by Paul, tell you this, that if you're circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Christians, stay in your faith. Stand in your liberty. Don't be sidetracked. Because much of the Christian church is permeated with having eaten from what I've been calling the DIY tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And not the tree of relationship. And why would you think... God started, He let him go that way first. He just let him do it. He could have stopped it. He let him do it. They needed to go first. You need to go ahead and try. I'll let you know good and evil for yourself. Go ahead and try. How's that working for you? Well, it hasn't worked. He says, I'm going to give you 6 days to work. And then he comes into the world saying, if you're tired, come unto me. And I'll give you rest. Because I'm going to tell you something. The highest expression of true faith is rest. I'm ministering this, and I wish I could tell you that I was 100% there. I don't want to mislead you. I'm not. But I am reaching. I am pressing. I am running after it. If I fall down, I get up. How about you? You don't stay down, right? No. The fight's not over till the count of 10. And I'm not even sure if it's over then. Because death itself can't stop you, because you have a Father that can raise you from the dead. If in Christ we have hope only in this life, then we are of all men most miserable. The Christian church has got it wrong in telling people that we got to get out there and save the world, because after they're dead, man, they're gone. I'm sorry, that's just not scripturally sound. No, it's not. That's not true. It's not true for them. It's not true for you. God's going to finish what He started in you. Now, I have to tell you that I don't believe there's... I believe His love is unconditional. And I believe that if I could have lost it, I already would have. Without telling you my entire story. You have your own. But I tell you something, that there is a high call. And it is, there is a time frame to get things done. And that thing is in question. It's not a given. And it requires a pressing and a seeking and a reaching. A hunger and a desire, and sometimes the desperateness that God shows you of your own condition is that the very motivation that you need to continue to reach and to press and to create a sense of urgency in your heart and not get lackadaisical in a relationship. For I testify to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you be that are justified by the law. Now listen, you are fallen from grace. You know, we used to say, well, that brother, he went out and did such and such and got drunk, committed adultery, did this, did that, did the other thing. That's not the scriptural definition of falling from grace. That's a brother that needs grace. The scriptural definition of falling from grace is going back
caer de la gracia es regresar
going
al
back
esfuerzo humano.
And walking in the way of the DIY tree. Do it yourself. That's what that means. So somebody say, what's that mean? I don't know. Now listen to this. For we, through the Spirit, wait.
Espíritu,
of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which is activated relationally by love. That's what it actually means to work. Faith that worketh by love, activated. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? I want you to know, he says, this persuasion is not coming from him that's called you. And a little bit of the self-effort religious leaven will leaven the whole lump. You can't have grace and law in the same thing. It's just, the leaven will take over the whole thing and lead you right back into condemnation. How much condemnation is there for them that are in Christ? Now, it says now, therefore. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. The part that says, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit, is not in the oldest and most reliable transcripts. It was added because the translators just couldn't make themselves say that there's no condemnation, period. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I didn't say that there's not any conviction.
I didn't say that you should feel good about bad behavior. That's not what it's saying. And let's just clarify. Sometimes what we call condemnation and us feeling bad about some bad behavior, bad choices, we've called it condemnation. And it wasn't. You should not feel good about bad behavior. Period.
And if you're bothered by it, that's a good thing. Maybe that will be a motivator to cause you to seek and cry more and groan and grieve and travail. And not just take it lackadaisically, oh well, God knew this about me to start with. Oh no, don't say that. Don't go there. He did know that about you. But he wants you to come forth. He's working with us. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be no otherwise minded, but he that trouble you shall bear his judgment, whoever he may be. And it might just be something right inside of us. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? For then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would that they were even cut off, which trouble you. For brethren, you've been called to liberty. However, don't use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. I love it. He balances this whole thing. I like the NLT because it says, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, freedom from the demands of the law that require you to try to produce something in your own strength and not through the power of an intermingling and a daily walk with the Holy Spirit, the enabler who is sent to be with you always. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. And why would Paul
put a caution like that in there. There's this thing out there called antinomianism. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Anti meaning against, and of course, nomos meaning law, against law, taken to the extreme. And there are people out there, there are groups out there, there are individuals out there that have embraced the truth about grace, but have carried it to such an extreme to where it's okay to commit any sin, that they don't feel bad about it anymore. They've convinced themselves that it's okay to move in the areas that they haven't gotten victory over yet. I don't think that's us. But the caution's there for all of us. Because we're all still... Is there anybody in here besides me that's still dealing with stuff? You know, it's almost like, well, yeah, man, that would be great if I could embrace some kind of a doctrine that would say, I don't need to feel bad about it. Well, no, you don't need to be condemned about it. But you should be travailing and crying out to God about it, seeking Him.
For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. You know, one place it says to hate yourself, but I'm going to tell you something. I love my new self, really do. I like who I am in Him. How about you? I like what I see looking back at me in the mirror when I'm in Him, when I'm actually yielding. But you know, I get this amnesia. What about you? I get this amnesia and I forget who I am. I look in the mirror and straightway I go away and I forget what manner of man I am sometimes. But God is reminding you and I, bringing us back to the mirror, continuing to look in the mirror. Because as we look into the mirror, as we behold the glory of God, it says it through a glass dark. It's talking about, literally, it's a mirror. As you look into the mirror of God's Word, beholding His glory, what do you see when you look in the mirror? Who do you see? Who do you see? Not a trick question. You. When you look into the mirror of God's Word, the God's glory, and you see you looking back, what God intends for you to be in, you're changed into that same image from one degree of glory to another. We need to keep looking into the perfect law of liberty. Continue therein. Continue with the yielding to the Spirit. God, help me walk in the Spirit, like the song we sung tonight. Because he goes on later on, he says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's, you can't fulfill the lust of, meaning that the times that I'm fulfilling the lust of the flesh, what can I know? I'm not walking in the Spirit. You can't do both. But if you're walking in the Spirit, you're in the Spirit, and you live in the Spirit, there's no law. And the fruits of the Spirit come forth in you. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering. All those things, the gentleness, the meekness, the kindness, everything, the fabric that makes God, God. You is you. I don't know. I don't think we really have gotten what it means in His image after His likeness. I don't think. I think it's if God would pull the wax paper or whatever off of the eyes of our heart, we can see what He means. He's like, He's saying, I'm talking about being just like Me. And all these fruits that he mentions later on in Galatians there is against such. There is no law. There is no law. So what do you do when you find yourself in the process where we're at today? And you're dealing with the duplicity that you see in yourself. You see, are you seeing that? I mean, honestly,
It's almost like a woman when I know when my wife when we had our son, my wife's very proper. She's very, wants to be covered up and everything and make sure I'm covered. But brother, I want to tell you something. When the pain reaches a certain point, covers go off. You don't care who sees what. That baby's coming. I don't know. I think we're getting to the place where we don't really care. We're not trying to put on a show. We just want to be what He's called us to be. We don't care. We're not trying to press people, make people believe something about us that's not true. We're all trying to be delivered of this life and to bring that which is invisible into the visible, bring that hidden man who is incorruptible, who is in your heart, into the visible, because that which is hidden shall be seen. And it doesn't just mean the bad stuff. There's a cry, and there's a travail, and I think back, and I almost want to cry thinking about it, when I think about when I saw the pain on her face and the thing that she was going through to bring forth that life. I don't mean to embarrass you, honey. I hope I'm not. If I am, I'm going to get in trouble later, so you can pray for me. And as a husband, I feel that and I see that. And I think about God, His tender care for you tonight as you enter into the time of travail, time of sorrow that when Rachel went through it, she died in bringing forth that son. And there's part of us that'll pass off the scene and what will be left is the son of the right hand. Of His power. That's our calling. We didn't choose it. He chose us. So you find yourself into this position right now, and some time ago I like to tune into Whitestone when I can on Wednesdays or maybe Saturday mornings and hear what they're talking about up there and close to that group. Nathan Miller was up talking, and he briefly mentioned the unjust judge, and I took a closer look at that, and I thought, boy, it's July, isn't it? Welcome back. Yeah. In Scotland, they have what's called midges, and they bite. So thank God it's not midges. That woman. There was in the city an unjust judge, and he feared not God nor regarded man. And there was this widow woman that came to him daily, saying, "Avenge me of my adversary." And she would keep coming until she wore him out, and he said, "Listen, I don't fear God, and I don't regard man. But this woman, because of her continual coming, lest she weary me, I'm going to avenge her of her adversaries." My question to myself and to you tonight, are you continually coming? Are you giving up? Are you giving up? Or you keep coming back? Continual coming. He said, "Shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry to Him day and night? I tell you, He shall avenge them speedily, though He bear long them." I don't know where you're at tonight, friends, or what you're going through. I just assume because you're God's people, you're going through stuff. Please don't stop coming. Come to the throne of grace. It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Grace is there to help you, that you might find grace to help in time of need. We are in our time of need. We need Him to finish this work. You can't take a step, one step forward without the Spirit helping you. As far as progress in God, you might be able to get the outside of this vessel looking pretty good and be concerning the law blameless and have no, and have Christ profit you nothing and fall from grace. He will hear your cry. He will avenge them speedily. I'm not going to be forever. I should probably close. I think I've said what I want to say.
I want to close. Yeah, let's go to Psalms 40. We're waiting for the hope of righteousness through the Spirit. Galatians has said to us, you're David here. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me, and you know what? He heard my cry. And I tell you tonight, friends, that He hears your cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock. He established my goings, and He put something new in my heart and in my mouth. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many shall see it. What God is taking you through as He brings you out, as He brings you completely out of whatever horrible pit that you're still dealing with, and out of the completely out of the miry clay of every aspect of Adam that is still there. He sets your feet upon a rock and puts a new song in your mouth. Creation is waiting to hear the sound of a song that no man can sing, but to Him to whom it is given, it's a new song. And they sang, as it were, a new song. Even praise to our God. Many shall see it and fear. And you know what? They'll trust in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the man who maketh the Lord his trust and respects not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. God bless you, friends.